With this being the first Sunday of Lent, we are at the beginning of a sermon series about our journey of faith. Faith begins with a recognition that sin is reality, and so today we'll be talking about how sin enters into the world and into our lives. I invite you to listen to Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus answered him, "It is also written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I read a story about two men who worked for the same company. And one day the older man asked the younger man a question about a situation at work. The younger man denied knowing anything about it. Later, the older man found out that the younger man had lied to him and had indeed known the answer to the question that he had asked previously. When confronted with his lie, the younger man apologized and asked, "Are you mad at me for lying?" The older man said, "No, I'm just disgusted that I can't trust you anymore." Relationships are built on trust, and lies break the trust. Hearts begin to harden with just one lie. That's true in our marriages and in our families. That's true in our friendships and in our workplaces. It's true with people in the church. It's true in our relationship with God. God has had to deal with the hardened hearts of his people since creation. And there are many accounts in the Bible with God dealing with people who have allowed their hearts to become hard. It all starts with believing a lie. In the first scripture that Colleen read this morning, the devil told Adam and Eve a lie in the garden, and they believed it. They chose to believe the word of the devil over the word of God, and when they did, they challenged God's authority. Because they chose to believe in a lie instead of God, sin entered the world. That's the account in Genesis. As you continue to read through the Old Testament, you find that the devil does not change. His tactics were the same over and over. The devil continued to tempt people to sin with blatant lies about God, with the innuendos suggesting that God did not care about his people, and by appealing to people's sense of personal pride. The root of pridefulness is refusing to accept anyone to be in a position of authority over you. Meanwhile, God has placed people in positions of authority over us, starting when we were children with our parents. I've learned that if I cannot stand to have someone in a position of authority over me whom I can see, how am I ever going to learn to put up with God being in authority over me whom I have never seen? Romans chapter 13, verse 1 says, "Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established." The authorities that exist have been established by God.
Do you believe this? Colossians 1:16 says, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. Romans 13:2, this is all New Testament. Romans 13:2, consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. Do you believe this? Proverbs 16:5, this is Old Testament. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Don't be proud. Put on your humble. The second scripture that we heard from Matthew is how the devil became proud and bold over his centuries of success. The devil became so bold that he tried to tempt Jesus, God's only son, into sinning against God. He waited. He waited until Jesus was alone and hungry after 40 days of prayer and fasting. He waited until Jesus was vulnerable. The devil tempted Jesus with basic human needs that we all have. Bread to eat, attention and power, and all of the glory Jesus could ever want, all in exchange for worshiping the devil. Jesus recognized the age-old lies, and Jesus refuted each one with scripture. Jesus, in all of his humanity, stood on the written word of God to fight the devil. Jesus is both completely God and completely human. He was just as tempted as we would be, and Jesus never sinned, not even once. That's why Jesus is the only perfect sacrifice sent from God to save us from our sins. Each one of us have the same choice as Adam and Eve, and the same choice as Jesus. Will we believe a lie or choose to believe God? Only with Jesus' help can we begin to recognize the lies of the devil and choose to believe the authority of God. 1 Peter 2:24 and 25 says, he himself, this would be Jesus, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. By his stripes you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Adam and Eve were punished for their disobedience of God's authority by being expelled from that perfect relationship they enjoyed with God in the garden. The ongoing result of their disobedience to the authority of God is that each one of us have been born with a sin tendency in our lives. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Death is the cost of our disobedience to God's authority. Ultimately, that death results in a forever separation from God. Unless it's only Jesus who covers the cost of our sinful nature. It's only by our humble acceptance of Jesus' death on the cross and his physical resurrection from the dead that our separation from God can be restored. That separation from God that comes as a result of our sins can only be restored by Jesus as the perfect Son of God who saves us from our sins. Our relationship with God will then be completely restored when God welcomes the faithful into heaven for eternity. I found that we can be so easily deceived. It starts for us the same as it did for Adam and Eve, with a choice, with a deliberate choice to not believe that Jesus meant what he said, or else we lie to ourselves and say that it does not apply to us. What I've found is that the devil's deception starts with not believing the words of Jesus to be true. We begin to believe that love is what the TV teaches us, and it's all about feelings. We forget that Jesus teaches us that love is shown with our actions. And it's because we want to obey God. The actions come because of the choice that we make. We want to obey God. We want to believe what God has said in the Bible. We want to obey the Bible because God is in authority over us. Matthew 6, 25 to 34 is where Jesus promises God will take care of you. Jesus says, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Jesus promises, don't worry. God will take care of you. In fact, God will take care of you so abundantly. Luke 6:38 says, Jesus says, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. That's how much God will take care of you. We hear these words of God. These words say, God provides for us. Do you believe this? God does not lie. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? God says he'll provide for us. Sometimes people are tempted to say, that's not true. Or very quietly, we might say in our hearts, well, yeah, maybe God provides for me, but I have to hang on to everything I have because I hope to retire someday and I sure don't want to live in poverty. I'm not rich like some people, so I can't afford to tie the full 10% to the church. And beyond that, I don't have any money left over to give to the poor and those less fortunate than me. Besides, isn't that the government's job? And so when people need something, we don't give it to them because we say we can't afford to help them. We don't have enough. We don't even notice that we have deceived ourselves. That happens as individuals. And unfortunately, it sometimes happens in churches. We don't admit to ourselves that we don't believe God's word or trust God's authority. We start a trend in telling ourselves that God's word is not true and that the words of Jesus are not true and they're not to be taken literally. And at some point for us, not trusting God becomes a habit. But if anyone asks, oh yes, we believe. We believe. Meanwhile, we're lying. Sometimes we pray for a miracle from God, or we pray for something we want from God and we don't get it. And then we very quietly tell ourselves, my prayers don't work. Why should I bother to pray? Why should I bother talking to God? I wonder if God really loves me. He sure doesn't seem very personal to me. When you get to the point where you wonder if God even loves you, it's time to go back to the basics. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Following Jesus is a commitment. A commitment to Jesus is all or nothing, no turning back. Sometimes people ask Jesus to help them through a bad situation, and Jesus helps them. And then they say, Jesus, I wanted you to help me when times were hard, but no disrespect, but I don't want you interfering in my life when things are going smoothly. Sometimes people decide to change their ways and follow Jesus and ask Jesus to help them break a bad habit, and Jesus helps them. And then they say, thank you, Jesus, for helping me break that habit. I wanted you to help me straighten out my life, but I don't want you to control everything I say and do. One of the expressions that I hear in the church, as well as in the world, is, I'll just follow my heart. My heart will tell me what is the right thing to do. Well, the heart can tell you many things, but it cannot tell you when it's being tricked. The Pharisees and Jews of Jesus' generation 2,000 years ago chose to follow their hearts instead of Jesus. They accepted Jesus' help when he healed them and when he fed them. Then they told him to get out of their lives. They sincerely, so very sincerely, followed their hearts instead of Jesus. Their first corporate act then was to have the innocent man, God's only son Jesus, crucified while cheering on his executioners. They followed their hearts. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Without the help of the Holy Spirit, we are so easily deceived. We are powerless against the lies of the devil. Only Jesus can heal a heart that the devil has deceived and broken. Only Jesus can restore the trust of a broken heart. Turn to Jesus. Follow Jesus. Follow God's word in the Bible. Jesus is God's word become flesh. We must allow God to remove our old hearts and give us new hearts. Hearts that are soft, hearts that are ready to trust God and love again. 1 John 4:8 says, God is love. Love is not God. God is love. Our ideas of love do not define God or give God existence. God defines love. God gives love existence and meaning. When we turn to Jesus, Jesus gives us new hearts that want to obey God. Our hearts from Jesus want to obey God completely because we recognize that our old hearts are too filthy to cure. Ezekiel 36:25-27 is where God promises. Listen to this promise. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. God promises to do the work. God expects us and helps us to be faithful and obedient. John 13 is the beginning of the account of the Last Supper with the disciples. And in that chapter, Jesus is washing the feet of his disciples, and Jesus says, "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." Like Jesus washing the disciples' feet, God tells us to be humble. Put your humble back on. Don't hold on to your license of rebellious defiance against God because of the disappointments and the heartaches that you've experienced. Don't shake your fist at God and don't turn your back on God. Put your humble back on and thank God for saving your soul. Sometimes our greatest witness, even to other Christians, is to be humble. I found that you don't always have to have the last word. Love people, even strangers. Love them enough to be kind and gentle and generous to them. Don't give up on God. God will never give up on you. His warnings, his promises, his word, his only son Jesus, is because he loves you. That's all I have to say about that.